My name is Bill Karpinko, and the topic is ways and, or actually times and ways to support your parish staff. And I think we can hopefully do a fair amount of sharing as we sort of talk along around that topic. My interest over the last decade or so with parish staffs comes out of my work at Concordia College as the director of a training program which equips a young, some of them not so young, we had a 62-year-old this last year, but equip non-ordained men and women to work in parish settings, mostly in education and youth ministry. So in the process of my placing them for internships and then finally into parish staffs, I've had a very, very lovely opportunity to see a lot of staffs form and live on, and some die in turmoil very quickly and whatever. Sort of paralleling that has been an opportunity to do a number of teaming conferences where staffs come in from various parts of the country, also to speak at conferences, etc. And out of that has, as you can well imagine, flowed all of the relationships in which people want to continue to converse with me about parish staff relationships. Notes, phone calls, as Michelle knows, late in the evening, letters, etc. Talking both about the incredible joy of working together on a staff with other people, and also on occasion the tremendous disillusionment, pain, hurt that's come when things aren't going so well. In fact, I wanted to just for a moment to kind of get us tuned to the topic of staff relations. I wanted to share with you a brief note that I got a couple years ago from a dear friend of mine, a former student, who simply said, "Dear Bill, a quickie note here. I received the call from Houston and will accept it. My resignation will be turned in by Sunday and I will be leaving October 13th. Lots of healing took place regarding the new reverend and the situation here. God does answer prayer. It's obvious that we can't work together. Women can't teach men, therefore I can't do object lessons on Sunday. He's doing his own thing with youth, regardless of the fact that I've weighed the issue and it's my job. There's only one minister here, not many ministers. We will part on terms of respect, I guess. There won't be animosity or hurt. It's too bad he's so limited, though. I think God is broader." Now, what this note speaks to, again, is the tremendous feeling that a person brings to a relationship, a parish relationship, regardless of it's just one other person that he or she is working with or a fairly large a staff. I'm impressed again and again by how deeply people wish to invest in this kind of a relationship and how important it is to them, and obviously how much joy or disillusionment there is that accompanies that relationship if it really flies or if it doesn't go well. Now, what I wanted to do just a bit today, and obviously in our short time together we're not going to do a whole lot regarding staff relationships, but I wanted to shift the focus from what I normally do, and that is have parish staff people talk with each other around any number of issues, but to shift it, the focus to one narrow dimension of parish life as staffs experience it, and that is how lay people can be a part of the supporting process. And we're going to try and confine ourselves to that, and my remarks will be focused there. So that when we're done, I hope that we'll have been able to do several things. One is to ponder some of the assumptions that I think are important as I think about supporting the parish staff at which I'm a member. Also, I'd like for you to think a bit with me about the image or perspective of what the professional staff is to be. I have sort of a picture or a definition of that, which you may or may not concur with. There are five times when I think parish staffs particularly need and appreciate support, both from themselves to one another and also from the laity. And then I have a number of ways in which I think that support can be given. So those are the four things. Talk about some assumptions, look at a perspective or image of parish teaming, five way or times when there's some extra need for support, and then some of the ways that you might be able to support. Now, when I talk about parish staff, this means different things to different people. For me, it basically refers to those men and women who have been called or contracted or some other term has brought them into a parish setting. They may be ordained, they may be commissioned, they may be some other term, and they may work full-time or part-time in a ministry area within the parish. Now, for some people, parish staff does include, very intentionally, the parish secretary, who some feel is the most powerful person in the parish anyway, and his or her assistants, and also the custodian and his or her assistants, who is the second most powerful person. So it just depends on how you want to think of it in your own mind. I tend not to think, even though I incur a lot of wrath, of the secretaries and the custodial staff and so on. But I'm thinking in terms of pastor, priest, minister of music, business administrator, director of Christian education, youth minister, etc., etc. So as I think parish staff, that's what I have in mind. Now, just before I get into some assumptions that I have, let's just double check again. We started and we had ourselves two lay people and two parish, was that it, two parish staff?
Actually, I'm on staff.
You're on staff. Okay, as a pastor?
As a youth director.
As a youth director, minister of youth. So let's see how this side of the room picks it up.
Lay.
Joanne?
Half.
You're semi. Are you employed by the parish?
No, I'm not. I'm half.
Okay. So you have been. And Daryl, you're on staff.
Yeah.
And that's a
multi-staff.
Okay, so there's how many pastors?
Two and
one part-time. Okay, Corinne? Layperson. Okay, so there we are. We have some resources, obviously, within us then, in terms of how you, if you were a layperson, recently, this past year, intentionally attempted to support your parish staff through relating to one person or the total group. And then if you're on a staff, you're mindful of how you have been supported. And we'll just assume that there have been a variety of kinds of support that you have received over this past year from lay people in particular. Now, I want to just share with you some assumptions that I bring, and you notice that I do work with newsprint. I'm a visual learner, and so a lot of the auditory stuff flies right past me, so it's important that I have it up here for myself, maybe useful for you. I worship in a parish that has 2,800 baptized and approximately 20 staff. Now, the numbers give or take a little bit. Part of that is we have a large parochial school of almost 400, and so the the parish staff, if we call it that, would be more like six of that 20. And it may even be a few more than that. But as I, as a layperson, attempt to support that parish staff, I carry with me some of these, actually each of these assumptions. One is that a cohesive, purposeful, spirit-led staff is the prime public parish model of how the church is to be and to interact. In other words, in my own thinking, even though I know that the Spirit lives in all kinds of people within the parish, within small committees, work groups, etc., etc., I am assuming, and I believe it to be true, that that group of 20 has a powerful potential impact on the life of the parish as to how Christians are to behave with one another. Also, an assumption I have is that parish staff in a group and in individuals need to hear from me and other people how vital their ministry to each other is, as well as to me and other parishioners. That it just is important for the well-being of Christ's body as it is in Seward, Nebraska. The third assumption is that each staff person, whether the senior pastor or the young youth minister or old youth minister or whatever, has something important to contribute to the staff and to the parish. And the emphasis here, something important. When I have that kind of mindset that each has a role to play, each contributes, it helps to sharpen my sensitivity to supporting each of them in their special way. Also, staffs like marriages and other close relationships need to develop and mature. Plus, they have periodic times of recommitment. In other words, as I view that staff of 20, there's times when I see them in real periods of turmoil and recommitment. They're wrestling with each other, new directions, or they brought new people onto the staff and they're reconstituted as a group. I don't expect from them always to be highly mature, developed, but that they are in a struggle with each other, just like I'm in a struggle to live out my Christian life with the committees I'm on, the wife I'm married to, and on and on. A fifth assumption. Supporting staff is not to be confused with adulation or praise for its own sake, but is encouragement to greater, fuller servanthood. There are experiences, I think, that professional staff have of being distanced by lay people. They get placed on the pedestal, and they're sort of treated as semi-gods or special people. At other times, it's like they're trampled on with the greatest of ease, not given respect, etc. What is important here is that supporting staff, efforts at doing that, is to be seen as a way to encourage greater servanthood by that staff, not to distance them or place them on a pedestal, etc., as someone special who deserves something that others in the parish may not. Finally, then, why don't you complete this one? Supporting staff is not an end in itself, but is a means of what for you? As you would support your parish staff, or you would have them support you, it's not an end, but it's a means to what?
Of loving our fellow man.
Okay.
Cooperative ministry.
Okay, it's a means of saying to them that, hey, we're in this together, that in fact you're not a team set off here alone, but we are the team. Something else may come to you as you think about this, but what I am wanting you to reflect over is in essence why you support. And that it's not an end in itself, but that you do that in order that. And I would have to say for me, and that group of 20, as I can get to them and support them, it's that they see me as a part of them and of a larger team. So those are some assumptions. How about others that you might have as you approach your parish staff and trying to support them, or that if you're on a staff that you hope lay people hold as they approach you? Please.
There are 3.5 pastors on our staff, and then another 2 and 3 persons in full-time ministry with us. And we've been trying to develop, in the 3 years we've been in this parish, a new attitude of, that apparently did not exist before, of trying to encourage the congregation to see their ministry as a relationship like marriage, but a three-way marriage. That is, the staff people between themselves, the staff people to the congregation, and then the congregation to the staff. You know, the triangular. I guess we, even ourselves, had previously thought of it more of a dyad, just working on a one-dimensional level. You know, pastors working and people supporting, but that third element to marriage, that third partner is the whole congregation.
That for me has become more and more important. And the former terminology was professional staff is there to equip the laity to do their ministry, and that's all fine and well. And I think I believe that. And yet it did slice out that responsibility of mine to support and in a sense to enable the professional staff to do their ministry. To and with me.
Yeah.
So it really picks up that. Now, I want to just talk a little bit about, and feel free to come back to this if you'd like, one way of talking about kind of an image or a perspective or a concept of how I view a parish staff and what I'm in essence, supporting them to be. Now, obviously, they're going to be what they want to be and so on. But what I hope in terms of that 20-member staff in Seward is that they see themselves as an inclusive, spirit-led team. And this inclusiveness picks up what we were just talking about, that it's not a tight, just us, but that it includes the entire parish, which centers upon the faithful carrying out of parish-designated ministry functions. Now, I realize some of you may be in situations where the parish does not identify and say, this is what we call our workers to do, but it may be a little different arrangement. But also that their life is exemplified by these kinds of behaviors. A spirit of warmth and patience and loyalty, mutual encouragement, forgiveness, kindness, and especially looking out for the interests of others. It's a whole kind of attitudinal mindset that I would be encouraging and hoping that the parish staff was living out amongst themselves. Also that they engaged in open communication not only with parishioners but within themselves, that there was a willingness to resolve differences, that there was public and private recognition of each other's strengths, and that they would systematically engage in this, and particularly where there are ordained and non-ordained on the same staff. It can be extremely crucial that ordained men and women lift up and affirm non-ordained, who often do not, let's say for one reason or the other, do not have public opportunities, not only perhaps to be seen, but to also to have their ministries affirmed and talked about in public. Also that there be a mutual desire to spread the gospel and nurture believers within that team, coordinated planning, agreed upon division of responsibilities, and then also that periodic review and revision of each other's ministry. Now, again, as I talk with and support the parish staff in Seward, this is what I'm talking with them about, what I'm encouraging and hoping that they consider being. And of course, a great deal of my values are in this, but it speaks to the kind of vision or image towards which I'm attempting to support their ministry. Now, you may see it or say it a little differently. I'd welcome your comments or thoughts about either this perspective on what a parish staff is to be with each other, or your own particular way of saying it.
I think one of the problems that you do see within a parish type of situation, seen this on several occasions, you get a situation where the concern for fellow man becomes so overpowering that decisions are almost impossible to be made.
Mm-hmm. In the sense of not wanting to hurt someone?
Right, right. With a concern for his fellow man. And there seems to me to be a fine line that has to be drawn on some of your points, because you end up, if you follow it completely and totally, you end up in a situation where people can conveniently hide behind these things and say, well, I can't do anything about it.
So that concepts like or behaviors like warmth, patience, loyalty, mutual encouragement could get so cozy and ingrown that there isn't real critique of each other, a firm word or admonition isn't spoken when needed, and so on.
That, and also the human concern for the parishioners and so forth, where you get to a point where they will not make a decision because they're afraid that they might hurt someone.
I think it's a point well made that an environment like that could become very stifling. I mean, it might also be a very warm, in some ways, positive environment for some people. But the point is, in terms of some tough decisions that have to be made, that would not be conducive.
You know, in some ways, I think what you're talking about is almost the opposite of this. It's the feeling that there's not enough support and love there, that if you go out and put yourself on a limb, that you're cutting yourself off. Because that's a feeling I had, like, in my home church. The pastor was, like, afraid to make announcements about special occasions or anything, or put them in a newspaper or something, for fear that they might leave someone out. You know, and I think the real fear was that they get out there and do that, and all of a sudden, that there would be no support from the rest of the staff or congregation if they made a mistake, you know, if someone was left out.
But in the cases that I've, in one case in particular that I've been in, the individual would not even try.
Would not try to do what?
Would not try to even, you know, to reach the support from the people.
Mm-hmm. See, being so isolated, so in a sense, the staff was really in some disarray, huh? That
yes.
And there was there a lot of protection to that individual?
There could be. You could see it as that. But just looking at, you know, the types of things that you're dealing with, mm-hmm. You get a situation again where the person or persons become so afraid, like you say, that they may hurt someone, that they just totally resign from doing anything. You know, they don't want to, because they might step on someone else's toe. And you know, there's got to be this love that you talked about, and this understanding and this forgiveness and these kinds of things, and loyalty within that congregation to allow someone to do that.
You bet. And this business of periodically sort of going to the mat with each other and reviewing how we're performing and maybe looking at some changes, interwoven in here can be some pretty firm, caring, but assertive give and take within staff. And I do sense, though, how paralyzed things can get in a situation you're talking about. How about, our time is sort of slipping past us, if we look at the five way or times when it can be particularly helpful to convey a supportive word to your staff, some of the ways that can be done. a number of these are just common sense. They're also ways that sometimes lay people may not have the opportunity to do themselves, but that they can, through friends or through talking with other people, encourage that some of these activities take place. Now, five of the times when I've sensed and seen staffs be particularly vulnerable or in need of support are these. You may have some other times, and please share those as we go. One is at times of staff addition. This is a point where it may be that the first additional staff person is coming, so it'll be a group of two, or it could be a larger staff. But again, whenever additions to the staff come, there's a sense in which the times are changing, that it's not going to be the same, that there's going to be new needs, a new perspective, a new this, and that can be very exciting and enlivening, but it can also induce a sense of, whoa, what are we going to have here? We're losing something that is maybe very special to us. Now, ways of supporting during and after supporting the staff are, one, to involve present staff as the decisions are made, not only in terms of do we add, what's the position description, what's the interview process, all the way along. I don't know how many situations I've been in where the present staff's both needs and gifts were not considered in the whole mix of a new staff person. Now that sounds just ridiculous, but it's like they were simply ignored. If one's going to be working day in and day out with somebody, the desire to be a part of that experience is very, very strong. Also, clear, flexible position descriptions. Key is on flexible. Position descriptions can be very deadly when they're seen as, this is what I want to do and only what I'm going to do. But seen as, hey, this is a starting point, etc., that can be extremely helpful and supportive of staff. Also, one of the subtle matters, I don't know if you've ever been through this, is I've been in situations where the public symbols of a staff have not been redone for a year later. In other words, the same stationery's going out with X'd out names and new names scribbled in. The sign out in front of the parish does not have new staff on it. The bulletin, in fact, they had to run the rest of them, and the new name is not on the date, you know, the weekly bulletin. And these various kinds of public symbols of the new staff, it's just not there. So, at times of staff additions, how about for you? Either what could be supportive or what you've done to support existing staff. Some other ideas.
One of the unique things that happened in our parish is, it's so humorous, I chuckle every time I think back on it. The former staff was totally out. The three pastors had resigned within a two-year period. They never called, waiting for, you know, the last
clean slate
fellow to leave, right? And then they started over and they went to a whole different idea of shared ministry rather than a senior pastor and then a line of assistants.
Yeah.
And one of the major things that we had to deal with was the fact that in the physical arrangement of the office area, there was a large secretarial pool as you first enter the office, then a long hallway with five identical offices in a row, and then the large senior pastor's whole office at the end.
Yeah.
And so the people who were on the call committee and members of the congregation said that they were all waiting to see, you know, the litmus test was going to be who gets the big office. And so three of us decided before we even moved in that that would become the parish education office and storeroom. But it's interesting how even physical arrangements can dictate old models and continue outdated ideas about ministry.
Yeah. So, And you really put your finger on it. One of the crucial dimensions of that is who's closest to that powerful parish secretary. And so anyway. Okay, a second time in which staff particularly may need and appreciate support is during pressure seasons. In other words, Easter, Christmas, etc., when the energy is fairly, let's just say, low, fatigue, really straining to cover all the bases. Possibly there's been one or two things that have bombed and lowered one's feelings of really contributing well to the ministry of the parish. Very simple, straightforward. I think most anyone could do either of these. Simply a call to say, John, Bill Karpinko, I know these are really demanding times for you. I just want you to know that I'm thinking about you and praying for you. Or, John, I know these are demanding times. Is there anything that you'd like for me to pray along with you about this during this week? Something just that simple. Doesn't have to be a long conversation, but conveying you're with that person. Or something like a card, probably the more humorous the better. Like the one I don't know if it's humorous, but I gave it to my wife anyway. I should have given it to our pastor, but here it is, you've probably seen it. It opens up and it has this rather shapely kind of a neckline and a bottom, and you know, and it has there, take it off. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Take it off, it's really. So it says, take it off. And so one opens it with some anticipation, and there's a couch with, you know, one side of the couch has this shapely dimension to it, and the guy's laying on it, and it says, you deserve a day off. You know, that kind of thing. Just a touch that says that you're with them, you're thinking about them, so on. Or something like a takeover dinner. In other words, a dinner is taken to the home of the pastor, a couple of other staff people, and it's informal, it's left, no big thing in terms of making them feel like they have to entertain, etc. Also, something just as simple as an Easter gift, which may be tickets to a play and a dinner, something like that, that just conveys to the staff, hey, we know these are times when you have a lot of pressure on you, and we're with you. Now, how about for you, ways in which you've experienced support during pressure seasons, or ways you wish you would have gotten support?
I had one circumstance where we were going crazy trying to find somebody to cook for the kitchen for the upcoming year. I mean, we were going nuts.
Yeah.
For our junior high program, just couldn't find anybody. And it was just driving me to distraction. Finally, a woman just called me and said, would you like me to do it?
Wow.
I couldn't believe it.
That's right. That's right. When people step forward, whether they know you're in a pinch or not. Was that a youth club, by the way? Yeah, I've been through that a few times. Okay, let me just double check. I like a canon word from the two pastors particularly. Would you experience this as support and encouragement, or would it really kind of be maybe awkward and a little bit of a pain? If you suddenly somebody called, they called Joanne or Daryl, and they said, hey, we know this is a tough week, a lot of pressure on the family, we'd like to bring over a simple meal. Boom.
Marvelous.
Yeah, that really would be. It'd be out of the blue.
People also, when they come over during that time, say, come over to our house just have dinner with us, and then, you know, we know you're busy, you can go, but just come and share a dinner with us. And
the come and no strings attached,
yeah.
No having to sit around. Okay. Also, those times in which the position is being reviewed or the budget is being set, I'm not sure all of what happens here, although I know when I get notified as to what I'm not going to be getting in terms of a salary increase at school, or what I am going to be getting, is it somehow I'm on the line and it's a very tender time in terms of how it feels as far as my own worth and so on. And I do know there are so many people who feel bruised and hurt out of these kinds of experiences. Some of that comes, and I think they're just, it's a reverse way of talking about the support, is they feel left out and unconsulted, untalked with in terms of what really they are doing, how they feel about their work, how they are reaching some of their goals and not reaching, what their financial needs may be, and so on. So the point is, in a positive way, the idea of encouraging people in positions who can do something about this, that there be systematic times of talking about one's position and one's financial needs. Also, when there's a dilemma, in other words, the budget committee of the parish wants to give a salary increase and it's only got so much money, that they permit staff to collaborate in the looking at that issue and the problem solving as to how it's to be distributed, etc. Also, that there be resources, even if they're non-budgetary, that are set aside for staff to get away and do some growthful activity, attending conferences, etc., together. Sometimes even I've been where situations where lay people have together, three or four of them have put aside some money and given it to the whole staff. Hey, would you use this for your annual retreat, or would you use it to go do this or that? How about this one? Other ways you've been supported, or just comments about how you wish you would have been supported. Darryl.
I think just one additional thing on the resources that is often overlooked, and that is that parish staff doesn't encourage growth for spouses as it does for staff persons, per se. And I think whatever encouragement we can give to lay people in the parish, mm-hmm. to encourage staff, families, or at least staff people and spouses, to do some growing together.
Yeah. Appreciate that. Number four, at times of public criticism of the staff, I'm sure that all of us have some very strong feelings in this area. These times do happen. I guess for me, the crucial way of giving support is to maintain a biblical perspective. There is any number of places in Scripture, particularly Colossians 3:12 to 17, where it talks about obviously the importance of forgiving, the importance of loving, and the importance of teaching and admonishing. There are times when staffs need to be admonished by lay people, obviously, vice versa, but that there is a spirit in which that is done, which is to edify and upbuild the staff, as well as the other lay people who may be involved. Also, speak to the criticizer. This is a very strong feeling that I have, and I'd appreciate some reaction on it. It feels like to me that when the fur starts to fly frequently in a parish in which a staff is involved, that lay people sometimes can kind of melt away. They just sort of, they do not stand and take on, lay person to lay person, the source of the attack. And particularly if we're talking about unfair criticism, one way that lay people can support their staff, who obviously caught up in this, is that they, as a lay person, go after that other lay group or lay person and just simply confront them with the implication of their behavior, obviously listening as best as one can, but also, in essence, doing some of the tougher face-to-face talking. Now, related to that is confronting gossip. There is all kinds of activity, as you well know, within parishes that is meant to drive wedges between staff members, to drag up staff member parts of their personal life that don't need to be drug up, etc. but in a somewhat quiet, gentle way, lay people, I think, can support staff by getting at some of that garbage that circles the phones and so on. How about some others here? Having been in the heat of these, possibly yourself, what lay people could have done, or in fact did?
Well, situations where it would have been a lay person confronting the pastor, and in both situations, as a lay person, there's nothing I can do. Absolutely nothing.
You mean when a lay person is going after, let's just say, the pastor, and you're there?
When you are the lay person.
Oh, when you're the lay person. Okay. And you mean there is a point here in which you as a Christian are in a very positive, good sense, admonishing a brother or sister?
Who happens to be pastor.
Happens to be pastor. Okay. And you're saying that it felt rather fruitless and frustrating? Okay. So in a sense here, and we all don't know the dynamics, but a layperson may have played a role of facilitating that kind of interaction. Another layperson.
Oh, I guess the statement that you made, going after, that really bothers me. Because lay people have some very necessary and important concerns that need to be brought to the pastor. And just because a lay person is confronting a pastor doesn't necessarily mean that they're going after them.
That's right, huh? That's right. You bet. They may be, and they may not be.
In some cases, it's very... correct terminology.
Yeah.
But in other cases it is not. And you're just coming up and saying, you know, these are some concerns we have. And the problems that develop tend to be the person that is receiving the criticism, is I think what you're looking at, they're saying, well, they're just going after me because I'm the pastor. And what ends up being is the pastor, the person that is being criticized, is on the panic button or on the squelch button, whatever, so I can become real contrary when someone uses the terminology of going after someone when you're actually just presenting some real deep concerns.
You have. And you have probably been misperceived that way, huh?
Well, not necessarily, but it's something that has come up and you need to look at it. Is the person going after the pastor for the sake of going after the pastor and trying to pick bones, or do they really have some meat to chew on?
You bet.
And we need to be careful of that.
To balance that, I've also seen times when when the layperson is misinformed or misdirecting their criticism, where, you know, they think the pastor has made a decision about some matter in the parish that's taking place, when in truth it isn't the pastor that made the decision at all, but it was something made either by a committee or by another individual's highly tuned power source. Mm-hmm. You know, there are very powerful members in every congregation who pull the right strings and get things done, and oftentimes without being recognized by 99% of the people, and yet the pastor can take the heat for it because supposedly he runs the church.
In some cases, however, that is true.
Yeah. You say that there can be both.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the point is, I mean, even in terms of our own sense of this issue right here and now, it has a fair amount of heat for us and feeling. And so the tremendous importance of maintaining that biblical perspective of wanting to edify, hoping to be heard accurately, or the concern that's raised, whether as a lay person or as a pastor. Are there ways that either as a parish staff person you had hoped you would have experienced support and didn't, that's not up here, that might be helpful for us to hear?
Well,
ways that lay people can, again, in a good positive sense, support, not protect, or whatever. We may slip back here. During staff vacancies, obviously when one person is gone or two people are gone, the staff gets spread thin. There is the encouragement to, hey, you're in the office, you know this place, would you pick this up, or would you do this, would you be responsible for this? And not that staff members can't get very excited about doing some new kinds of ministry in a vacancy situation. A couple of the ways that I'd like to suggest parishioners can support. One is obviously to pick up some of the slack. Not that there was a vacancy in your situation, but when somebody came forth and took that cooking chore, that the delight of people seeing the need and stepping in a vacancy. This one in particular is a very, again, subtle but devastating experience for non-ordained people. And perhaps it can also be for ordained, but it is when there's a vacancy or a void, non-ordained people tend to move in to areas which, once the new staff member arrives, are pulled back from them very quickly. And they get drawn into a very deep affinity, either to that committee or to preaching or to visiting people when they're sick or whatever. And all of a sudden, another person comes and it's gone. It's not a part of that person's responsibility anymore, and they have developed a sense of ownership. And so one way that lay people can really support staff is to keep them focused in their areas and provide them additional either part-time support or lay support to pick up some of the pieces. But in particular, to protect people from that temptation to move into what Lyle Schaller calls winter kinds of parish responsibilities that are very satisfying, exciting to do, and you know what some of the losers are? But anyway, so those are some of the sometimes. Now, how about for the rest of you, either what you've sensed or what you've experienced to be other times when parish staff really can benefit from your support?
Just in friendship time, kind of away from and disconnected from the position. That's just sometimes I think people think of that. You know?
Okay, it really in this anytime, all the time support. The whole possibility of having genuine friendship where it's not per se church focused, but that they relate to you as a human being. Not as a youth minister.
One of the times I'm thinking of may occur concurrently with some of those, like number one, but we've noticed one of the stress times for us as a staff is when we're trying to introduce a new program in the congregation. Mm-hmm. And people are supportive of the program often, but it does mean change.
Yeah.
And it's easier to accept the mental idea of a new program, but when it changes how I'm going to have to do something as a pastor or a layperson, it means time of stress. Mm-hmm. And so that, to me, is a time when I would appreciate and have experienced a great deal of support from parish members, and that's been very helpful.
Okay. And it may pick up any number of these behaviors,
yeah,
ways in here, but if you, for example, want to institute a new confirmation program. Okay. How about some other times? Just by way of some summary, this idea of there are some activities, obviously ways that parish people can support their staff anytime, And they're pretty self-explanatory in terms of that very active prayer life about both personal and professional concerns that staff have, children going off to school, all kinds of personal things may be going on. Publicly praising, gosh, that can make a big difference whether it's voters' meetings or assemblies or wherever the experience takes place. This idea of, for me, I've made a practice of specifically talking to various staff members at our parish when I see that they've done something together and look like they're enjoying each other. I make a point of saying, boy, you all really seem to be into that together. I appreciated what you did. It's great to see you working together. Just that kind of simple statement. The celebrating of the special times, what are some of those for you besides ordination anniversaries and so on? Are there some others?
Summer.
The summer? Okay. There, I've seen some of the most playful, joyous events around anniversaries in particular. Now, also around when people are leaving, which is kind of has a sad dimension to it, but I think the parishioners can really also take note of birthdays, etc., that type of thing. Just a final comment, we're sort of at the end of things time-wise. Just well-meant comments. I wanted to share a couple of these with you. Maybe you've had them said to you before. In fact, you may have a few well-meant comments that have subtly sort of put a real pained dimension into your staff for a bit, like things like said to an associate pastor, you deserve your own parish. Or to a non-ordained person, this happens again and again, you really ought to go on to the seminary. Or the senior pastor, you've sure got a great staff, like he or she owns it, and so on. What have you heard any or experienced any other comments that's done it to you? Hey, we sort of charged along. I hope that some of the thoughts and feelings you had a chance to surface throughout. It was good to be with you.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Blessings as you work with lay people and parish staff.